Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Yeah, here we are. We are in the week of 13th anniversary of 9/11. Wow. And it's a different world today. Back in 13 years ago, it was kind of America as usual, the church as usual. And suddenly, to our surprise, while our president was teaching, reading a book, obviously his mother told him to go there and read book. She had the reading program, right? And to these children in, I think, first grade, maybe kindergarten or something in that grade, And as he was reading this children's story, planes that were hijacked by people who came to America, but they on an education visa, I believe, that just disappeared. Mm-hmm. 12 of them, maybe, were flying planes into some tall office complexes, two tall twin towers in New York, with a goal of killing human beings. Mm-hmm. And they succeeded. 2,000.
Over 3,000.
3,000. Shot over 3,000, plus flying a plane into the most powerful country in the world's place of operation for its military, the Pentagon. Three planes. Suddenly, America awoke. We united for a moment in time.
Yeah.
And it looked like we were going to go in the right direction. It was an off-ramp, as we talked about when we played a Glenn Beck segment recently. It was an off-ramp for us to get off and go, what were we doing? Why did we... We have been sleeping? Because everybody, I mean, and, you know, a few apostolic and prophetic friends, you know, many people came out afterwards and said that they heard from it. Right. It's like, you know, there is something worse than not getting a word is somebody telling you after it happened. Mm-hmm. Yes, I knew about that. It's like, oh, you were a coward and you didn't stand up and warn us to tell us.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It's just what you're, it's pride. To do that. We don't want to hear you had a word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We want to hear it before it happens. Yes, you'll be persecuted for it, but at least we can prepare.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, you know, some of my close friends who, you know, who hear the Lord's voice were just shocked. They were totally caught by surprise. And the nation was caught by surprise. But now here we are on this week of the 13th year anniversary. And it's a different world. It is a world set up where they're saying potentially, I think the reports are 1,500, maybe 2,000 student visas. The people who got them is lost in our country and they can't find them anywhere, the reports are. This was just 12. Reports are that ISIS, you know, radical Islam, who has the mentality of what we're seeing over the Middle East, is in our country. At least the spirit is, for sure. And 12 planes, passenger planes, are missing from our embassy, American embassy in Tripoli, where they've totally taken it over. As we show you, they're actually swimming in the pools and totally took it over. The very airport that Congressman Michelle Bachmann flew in to be able to check out the embassy after the Benghazi situation, that now is totally taken over. They've lost their country. Mm-hmm. And we played for you, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's, moment of saying we came, we saw, we killed, and then she laughed. Mm. I mean, even God doesn't rejoice in the death of one.
No.
It's never good. It's, you've got to defend yourself. I mean, you've got to defend yourself as a country. Sometimes the biggest form of peacemaking is confrontation. But it's not something you want to do. It's definitely not something you laugh and do. And since then, the whole country is reportedly lost. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to more of that interview, a second part of the interview with Congressman Michelle Bachmann, she said, you know, I voted against that flyover of Libya sometime back, because this is what's going to happen. You're going to take down some passive dictator. And in that, these factions are going to arise, and they have all this oil money there. It's not a poor country, and they're going to fund radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's verbatim is exactly what happened. And now you have all this oil money going into this effort, what they believe they're doing for their God. And it has to do with, you know, killing, beheading, taking over, forcing people to convert, servitude, or death. And man, we have so much history to learn from. Mm-hmm. But here we are now. This is the week, and we're going to be focusing on this whole week, because we're in the middle of four blood moons. And you heard us talk about that, but these four blood moons have happened over a period of time. I guess the last 500 years is when they've had it on record. And they've always begin, I think it's like an 18-month period.
Mm-hmm.
They always begin in tears and pain, but it comes out in deliverance and victory. But if you look at this, you know, some people sit back and look at that and they go, well, yeah, I mean, this is going to be deliverance. But the thing is that we might not live through this process.
All right.
It's like someone else is delivered, but we didn't get delivered.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody says, yeah, man, we survived the earthquake and we made it, it's like, but 300 people didn't. You know, we survived the tornadoes. You know, look at all the damage. It's like people just look over, the survivors quite often look over the ones who lost. And the ones who lost may have had the same attitude. We can get through this. Don't pay attention. This is not God speaking to us.
Right.
And next thing you know, they're facing God. Who's to say that in this transition that it doesn't cost us our life? You know, our possessions. And it cost Israel, the Jews, horrifically when the four blood moons began with the persecution of the Jews, with Hitler, with ghettos, the Night of Crystal Glass, the ghettos, the trains, the camps, the murder, the ovens. That was four blood moons, but it ended with Israel in their own land. But it's a huge price. That's why they have the Holocaust Museum, to be able to remember the journey, how we got here. That's the four blood moon documentation of what happened. And there are some tragic things happening right now on the earth. But it has not got to the point that I believe it's going to get to. You know, Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, says the world's about to go through hell. Mm-hmm. And everything that I am personally seeing, what God is showing me, and I don't want to say that, but it's going to be tough. But the purpose of it is not just because, oh, it's time for problems. It's because we've gone astray. We've lost our loyalty to our God. You know, we honor him with our lips, but our heart is far from him. And so he's saying, turn back to me. I think of this movie, and you got to see this movie on ClearPlay. ClearPlay cleans out things that you don't want to hear, but lets you actually see the context of the work that's going on. But it's a movie called Taken. And it's about a father who is no longer living with his daughter. Must have been his workplace situation. Security work kept him from the home, divorce. His daughter and his ex-wife, now married again, they say, I mean, he's irrelevant. The father says, where are you going? And they just kind of happen to on the fly. Oh, by the way, your daughter's going to go to Paris or something like that.
Mm.
And he's like, why didn't you tell me?
Mm.
Father, you're irrelevant now. I mean, I'm not wanting to control you. I need to know where you're going. You have to understand. I understand the world. I understand what's going on. You've been living this life separate than your father. You divorced me. You separated yourself from me, but I still exist. Why didn't you bring me into this equation? And all of a sudden, the mother begins to be defensive and said, you know, if you don't let her do this, and then the threat. And so she gives this entire whole scenario to her father that they're going to go travel Europe. And it was all a lie. It was all a lie. They're going to go there and do like rock concert thing or something. They're going to go be roadies or I don't know what it was. But they never got to that because as soon as they got there, he gave her a phone and he says, as soon as you get there, I want you to call me. And as soon as they got off the train, as soon as they left the church, as soon as they left the church gathering, Satan was going around like a roaring lion. Mm-hmm. As soon as they got off the train, there were two wolves on the side of that train. You know what they did? They flattered them. They were nice to them. They told them everything that they wanted to hear. All their fantasies in regards to, wow, these Frenchmen are nice. They're going to treat us really good. This is exactly what we thought. They gave them their address. Then they went to check into the friend's place that they were at. And so she got so busy, she forgot to call them. So finally, the call went through. No, what happened was these Frenchmen came into their place. And she happened to look from one window to another window and saw her friend being taken captive by these people. Now she calls on God. Mm-hmm. Now she prays. Now she calls the father that she lied to, the mother that she used to manipulate her father to be able to get her way. Now she's walked into the den of iniquity. Now she's walked into the pain. Now she's suffering these consequences. Now she prays. Now the church prays. And so she says, Dad, they're taking us. They're taking us. And their dad is like some military person, you know, whatever. He knows, understands these things. And he says immediately, he says, you only have minutes left. You only have minutes left. So listen to me clearly. Where are you? I'm in the bedroom. I'm in the bathroom. He says, get to the nearest bedroom and get under the bed. You have to pay attention. You only have seconds left. I'm going to ask you things and you're going to have to tell me what they are. But first I need to tell you something. They're going to take you. And you know, in all of her arrogance, and all of her denial of her father's existence and his reality in her life, she never turned to her father. And then she had to be able to work through the process as we're fixing to go through something because I didn't listen to my father. We're fixing to go through something. And he said, put the phone close so I can hear and tell me all that you can see. How many are they? What are they wearing? What do they look like? And all of a sudden she thinks they're gone and they drag her by the feet and pull her out under that bed, and her last thing her father hears is her church screaming, and he's going, but you didn't bring me in the equation. I want to talk to you when we get back about understanding that you can't ignore God and not think that you're not going to be taken. But God will, if we turn back to him, if we do call him, just like this girl's father came after him, God will come after us, and he will deal with those who took us. I know that this may sound kind of dramatic, but there comes time when God says, you're going to be taken. I'm going to turn you over to this. I'm going to turn you over to that. And remember, it's not for us to God to turn his back on us. It's God wanting, it's not God to wanting to write us off. He is wanting to write us in the Lamb's book of life. That's what he wants to do. And you're looking at the world being organized right now. It's being organized. And here we are on the anniversary. The anniversary, mind you, of 9/11, 9/11, when America was under attack by 12 folks. We're looking at armies that have been set up against this nation. We're looking at, but the question is, have we been doing what this young girl has did in this particular movie clip? As a matter of fact, I want you to see exactly what I was talking about. I want you to watch because her father told her, he said, as soon as you get there, because he had to go ahead and let it go because she was going to do her own thing. His wife that had left him, she's doing her own thing. And so he was doing the best he could with ones that he cared and that he loved at whatever measure. So he gave her a phone. When you get there, you call me. And she didn't until all of a sudden, as soon as tragedy hit, she prayed. She called out to her father. And I want you to understand the kindness and the sternness of God. See, her father knew the trouble. And our God knows the trouble. But I want you to hear it because the reality is, and I want you to see it. Those that are watching and listening on VFN Radio, you can watch this on the torch, but those that are watching on CTN, look now.
Kim?
Is there anything else you want to tell me?
Kimmy.
There's someone here.
Her cousins are back?
No. Oh my God, they got Amanda!
What?
What are you talking about? Kimmy? Kim?
Kim? Dad! They took her!
All right, listen to me.
Oh, God.
Did you meet anyone on the plane?
No.
In the airport?
No. Yes, Peter.
Peter? Peter who?
I don't know.
An American?
No.
Did he know where you were staying?
He took a cab with us. Dad, I'm scared.
I know you are. Stay focused, Kimmy. You have to hold it together. How many people are there? Be precise.
Three, four, I don't know.
Where are you?
I'm in the bathroom.
Go to the next bedroom. Get under the bed.
Tell me when you're there.
Now, the next part is very important. They're going to take you.
Kim, stay focused, baby. This is key.
You will have 5, maybe 10 seconds. Very important seconds.
Leave the phone on the floor. Concentrate.
Shout out everything you see about them. Hair color.
Eye color, tall, short, scars.
Anything you see, you understand? They're there. I can hear them.
Remember, concentrate.
Put the phone closer so I can hear. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Good luck.
When we are talking about a father, our Father God and his church, that couldn't better be a picture of it. Harry had a daughter in rebellion. He had a bride who divorced him, who separated his children from him, who had their own idea what things were going, didn't think the father knew what was going on. And even in all that, he stepped in and did what he could in the process of that. And when she finally cried out and she said, "Dad, save me," that's exactly what he began to do, was save her. And when the church cries out, when we repent and cry out and say, "I was wrong," and we cry out to God and we say, "Save me," even though we're being turned over to our own choices, he will save us. And I got news, just like this father said, if you lay your hands on Israel, on the Jews, and you lay your hands on the church, if you choose to be a tool of the adversary, then just like this man said, God knows how to handle you, and he will deal with you. Even if it's over our grave, you will answer for what you've done to the church. You will answer for what you've done to Israel. It states it very clearly. Our Father loves us. This is between us and Him. And we're going to turn our hearts back to Him. And we're going to listen to what He says. And we're not going to let people divorce us from Him. We're not going to let people give us ungodly counsel. We're going to listen to what He says because He loves us and He knows what's best for us. I know this is kind of a serious program, but this is an anniversary of when America was attacked. It was brutal. If you can remember the streets of New York when we're all fixed to our televisions watching something, you had to tell yourself, this is not a movie. These folks are running for their life. This dark cloud of this bloom of human ash and brick and companies that was just collapsed as the towers collapsed like pancakes. Baby strollers, reporters running just for some water to be able to splash their faces. 13 years ago, and it's like we don't even remember it. Our kids don't even know about it. And this time, it's not just 12 students that lost their visas or that you can't find. It's a whole world, borders and finances and jobs and infiltration and ISIS and crazy stuff. I mean, $17 trillion in debt, turning over the United Arab League to President Putin. Putin coming. I mean, it is just crazy days. This is nothing like 9/11. This is like, okay, you didn't listen with 9/11. You know, you went out and made your own plans like this young girl did. And I want to encourage you, mothers, do not partner with your children's rebellion against their father. And if you do, own it before God, because you will own it. You should be with your husband. You should be with their father. Y'all should be planning together. When you separate your child from their father, that's what happens. That's what happens. 75 million, 25 million plus children, it's more than that now, are in fatherless homes in America. There's a reason why fathers are disappearing. It's because the adversary wants them gone. That's how significant they are. There's a reason why they put Dinesh in prison, because I put him in jail for a little bit, because they're letting them know, hey, what you're doing is right. We need to stop that. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they went and pressed charges on governor of Texas.
Rick Perry,
out of the middle of nowhere and tried to shame, because it's like he was doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why people are persecuting Israel, because Israel's doing the right thing. It's just the way it is. And it's like we have to listen to our Father God. Right now, this very moment, you know, we cried out to God, and, you know, and I asked the Lord, I'm like, what's going on? This is just crazy, you know, over the years watching what's happening. And I'm watching progressively as the Lord spoke to me, is that, you know, we're like Josiah, and Josiah was doing all these wrong things. King Josiah was, but he was young. He didn't even know. His generation did not train him up in the things of the Lord. So he didn't even know. So God put something in his heart and says, can you go down to that old church building? Can you go down to the temple and clean it up? As a matter of fact, here's some money, but don't give it to the preachers or to the priests, because they won't do the right thing with it. Just give it to the carpenters. Give it to the laymen. Give it to people who just are going to go there and do what I ask them to do. Because they'll just do it. They don't have any hidden agendas.
Right.
And guess what they found? This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. As soon as they got there, these preachers, they knew that these men were going to find the Word of God. They knew it. Mm. So as the more they start remodeling this building, the closer they're going to get to the Word of God. And Josiah, King Josiah, had never seen it before. He didn't even know it existed, that there was actually a book, you know, a Bible that God had inspired to tell us how to live our life, and that whether he's mad and angry at us or not. And so he goes, all of a sudden, when they see these carpenters start to polish up the temple and rebuild this and replace some rotted wood, they're going to be in here any moment. Any moment, this 81% of American Christians who don't even pick up their Bible, they're going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. They're going to pick it up. And these 19% that read it, forget about the 3%, these other ones are going to pick it up. They're going to read it for what it really means. And then they're going to know that God, this is an inspired word from the creator of the universe. And so the priest go in there and they grab the Bible and they walk out and they go, well, looky here. Look what we found. They wanted to make sure they were the ones that brought it out, not the carpenters, not the ones that were sent there by King Josiah.
Mm.
And so the king takes it from him, gives it to his secretary, and he says, read this to me. And when they read the word of God, guess of all the things that could have been discovered when they read the word of God, this is what you're going to find out when you read the word of God. And he's being read the word of God. These people, the priests, the ones who are supposed to be teaching us and telling us the things of God, the heart of God, the ways of God, the mindsets of the Lord in regards to our behavior and what we're doing. You know what he got from it? He realized God's angry with us.
Hmm.
Not the anger, like unrighteous anger. He loves us and he's angry at us because we have gone astray. There's innocent bloodshed. There's 50 million abortions in your nation since 1950, plus million abortions since 1973. And it's like this cranking it up a notch. They're trying to kill as many children as they can, any way they can. And he realizes, he's like, they're angry with us. God's angry with us. He's like, he's angry with us. And he rips his clothes. He rips his clothes and he goes, God's angry with us. And then he got a checkoff list, what God says that you're supposed to be doing. And then he went around and he said, listen, he went before all the people that he's over and has authority over. And he said, listen, I've sinned. I've done what's wrong. He personally repented for his own life. The next thing he did, since he was in a place of authority, he understood he was the one in charge. Like in America, it's the people of America who are in charge. We the people. It's not Washington, D.C. And so then he went around and began to talk to the people and tell them, this is what God says we're supposed to do. And we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. And the next thing he did, he began to get rid of all the unjust laws and all the crazy foreign gods in the land. And he just began to purge it. And you know what God said? God said, you know what? You know what? I was going to destroy you, America. Well, he said, I was going to destroy you. I was going to deal with you. He said, but Josiah, you are the greatest king that has ever lived to this point or ever has lived. I mean, think about it. He went from total destruction, total ignorance, not knowing anything, to once he understood, he read the word, he understood God can be angry with you. You can offend God. God can react to our rebellion. He repented. Repentance is doing what's right, not just saying you're sorry. He repented, he acknowledged his sin, but then he said, I'm going to do what's right. And this and everybody else, those that are under me, as for me and my kingdom, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And God said this. God said, amazing. I'm just not going to do it. It's just, I'm putting everything on pause, Josiah. You're amazing. Now, it is going to come. It's going to come on your sons, but it's not going to come on you. Because you did the right thing, which means we can do the right thing in America. It's not over. Even if you've never even read your Bible or picked it up before, you can be like Josiah. And if you can't even read, get your secretary to read it to you. Listen to an audio version of it. Understand God can deal with a nation. He can deal. If he did that to Israel, who are we in the eyes of the Lord? And that's where we are in America. We're looking at this very moment, a storm is being fashioned against the world and against America. And it's more so America, the greatest military power, the strength, the nation that's been blessed by God in such a way, Israel and America. And it's being fashioned. You can see it. I can see them building the guns. I can see them building the cannons. I can see them making out their military plans. I can see that. And it's like, you can't even see that's going on. It's happening. The word of God, he tells us, he says, listen, when the watchman, when I put you on the wall and you see that I'm fashioning a storm against my people, you warn them and you let them know, which means it can be being fashioned against you and you don't even know it. These priests who are hiding the Bible, these preachers who wouldn't preach the word of God, who are hiding the Bible from the people, they were about to be destroyed and they didn't even know. If it wasn't for Josiah, they would not have even made it. It was Josiah that gave these priests a longer life because the leader did what was right. The people benefited from the leaders doing what was right. In other words, they benefited when leadership did the right thing. And so here we are, we're watching at this one point. And so I cried out to God. I'm like, God, you know, what is it? What's going on? You know, and this is a couple of years back because you're watching insanity. You're watching. It's just insane what's going on. I don't know if the snoring of the church is more insane than the entire detailed plan being fashioned against America is insane. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know which one's worse. It's like, wake up. And they're like, you know, I got my vacation coming up and I got a cruise I'm going to go on. And they didn't give me my raise. And like, you might not even have a company tomorrow.
Right.
You know, God's angry with us. He's not angry to the point he wants to write us off. He wants to write us in. And if we die in our present state of rebellion, many people will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I got news for you. And so we're watching. And so I cried out to God, God, what is it? What's going on? Help me understand this. And so he led me to watch a particular interview with on public television. And I was watching an interview with Marshall Gantz. And I was listening to him talking about community organizing, and that's what he's part of. And, you know, Bill Moyer was interviewing him. I mean, this guy, Bill Moyer, I mean, it doesn't seem like he wants to be an American. Mm. You know? Mm. I mean, he may be, but he's like, there's communism and then there's America. Okay. And then so he starts talking about that. Man, that is so cool. Look at that. You know, organizing. Yeah, you can organize people to do a positive thing. That just sounds so great. And then all of a sudden he quoted a particular author. He quoted a book called Rules for Radicals. He quoted Saul Alinsky, and he says, you first have to polarize before you organize. He says, organizers are like schizoids. You have to be a schizoid that you're not really ever, you don't, it doesn't matter what you're saying. You just got to say something different. And if everybody moves over there, you got to say something different over here. And it's like schizophrenia. That makes a lot of good sense. Schizophrenia. Mm. Like maybe that's what's going on. And so, you know, I order the book and it gets delivered to me in some bottom of a box that they could tell probably I wanted. I didn't know anything about this. I'm just going to read the book. Then I'm opening the book up and I find out that, and what Marshall Gantz said, he said that a Senator Barack Obama hired me to run his campaign. Well, they're both organizers. That kind of makes sense. I mean, it's what you want, somebody who can organize people to get behind your campaign. But when I opened up the book and looked in the cover, it was dedicated to Lucifer. The whole techniques are dedicated to Lucifer, the first one that did this. In the back cover, they had Barack Obama then, and they had Hillary Clinton on the back cover saying they're the ones that was mentored by this man and taught it for 4 years. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's what's going on. We're being organized. Mm. You know, we talked about that. I began to cry to God, you know, God, what is it? And then I realized there's 13 tactics taught in this book written about called Rules for Radicals. It is a methodology that Lucifer used, and they were correct in giving him a credit for it because he organized a third of the angels in the presence of God against God. I mean, imagine that. Shows you the power of music, doesn't it? Because he was a musician. He was the musician in heaven. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Don't let music lead you astray.
That's right.
It's just a tight string on a hollow box. Anyway, so.
Guitar.
So think about this.
Got it.
We saw attempts, you know, based on my understanding of this in America, where they try to get one of the tactics going, which is the seventh tactic of Saul Alinsky, which is to have a sustained militant interest. You have to be this militant, has to keep going. And one of the statements, you know, he wrote this in the early 60s, I believe it was, he says, you know, a tactic that drags on too long becomes drag. So you have to constantly change the narrative. He said you got to constantly keep the narrative changing. But you notice we're so lazy in America. You can't even rear us up for long.
No.
It's like I'm missing my cable package. Mm. I'm missing my games. I mean, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they tried to. They tried to, you know, focus with you know, Occupy and all these different things, but it just wouldn't kick in. They even paid people to do it, but it just wouldn't kick in because it's real difficult in a blessed nation to get people to be militants. Like, but I'm seduced by all the stuff and things. And so the question was at that time was, and there's a whole series on this. You need to go to VFNTV.com and you need to listen to the entire series, every one of them, because there's a dark tactic. But then there's a response that we're supposed to have for that. We cannot buy into this. Even if we get our way with this dark tactic, we cannot rejoice in that because that's not something we would want to do. We're supposed to renounce all forms of witchcraft and cunningness, cunning schemes and enticing words. And we just up front give people a chance. They say no, it knows no. But now we're looking at, think about it, that you heard the president, we were talking about this, he said, we're going to bomb Damascus. You heard me come on and tell you that the Lord spoke to me about the Secretary of State, and as soon as he comes on at this particular time, it's going to be different for Christians and Jews. Did I not say it? I said it. The exact time he was going to speak, and he spoke live, John Kerry came on, he spoke live to the nation and to the world, and he talked about bombing Damascus. They wanted to deal with Assad. They wanted to arm the rebels in Syria. The word was reportedly that what happened in Benghazi, weapons were being smuggled in through Turkey, coming back down to be able to arm the rebels against Syria, against Assad, the leader of Syria, who, by the way, his father and himself, based on reports, dealt very harshly with the Muslim Brotherhood and got them out of Syria. And so did Mubarak in Egypt, who's been removed and replaced by the Muslim Brotherhood and then replaced again. And it's like, so here we are in Iraq. Our soldiers did an excellent job of fulfilling their orders. They gave an opportunity for freedom. The first democracy kicked in. They voted for their first president. They went in, and all of a sudden, this particular force that supposedly reports are they wanted to arm the rebels in Syria, for some reason, they started bleeding over the border of Iraq, which is just north. So they started bleeding down into the country that we left. And we left them with weapons. We couldn't get weapons to them one way. So we got weapons to them through Iraq. We just left all of our weapons there with untrained folks who were, they just ran and left, potentially maybe because they wanted to them to be armed. Because you're seeing people interviewed today, they think, well, hey, it's not that bad what ISIS is doing. And now the very rebels that America said, no, we don't want to do that, they were armed by us abandoning all of our weapons in Iraq. And just like this Zelensky tactic, a sustained military interest has to be maintained to be able to fulfill this, and you have to be changing continually. 12,000 reportedly, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, radicals have totally transitioned the a democratically elected president out of seat in Iraq to somebody they just decided they wanted to be in there without elections at all. It's moved all these weapons into the hands of ISIS, beheaded journalists, beheaded this last journalist was also a Jew, by the way. They killed an American Christian, and they killed a Jew. That's what was a Jew.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And understand, JJ, that's the first two things. That's what I said. It's not going to be good. As soon as they make this statement, as soon as Secretary John Kerry gets up and he makes this statement, it's going to be different for Jews and Christians. I said that right here on the air. I said it plain as day because God told me that. And we have to understand it's not good unless we stand up and be like Josiah and say, dear Lord, forget about all them. We've got to not be like this rebellious daughter and just, you know, find our way away from you. We got to find our way to you and find out what you're saying. You have our good things in mind. So you're sitting here saying this, seeing the world organized. And of all the things the president said in his speech that he just made, I mean, of all the things he could have said, this is what he said on his speech about in Wales, is being hosted by the NATO summit, I believe it was. He said these very words, we will need to organize the Arab world. See, what the system works like, I'm talking about the book, I'm not talking about our president or anybody, I'm just talking about the book, which he taught reportedly for 4 years, which Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis on in her college career. She was mentored by Solomonsky, book dedicated to Lucifer. You got to create agitation. You got to create this militant push. You got to create a constant changing narrative. You got to go, okay, let's shoot missiles from Gaza. Okay, let's get Fatah over here stirred up in the West Bank. Okay, let's get this Abbas that just bombed Damascus. Let's bomb Damascus. Okay, let's pull all the military out of Iraq. okay, let's bring all the weapons there, but let's have ISIS now come down into Iraq. Okay, I mean, these things are just happening rapidly. It's only been a couple hours since our current leadership's been in. Wow. It's just like, right. But the narrative's got to constantly changing. The seventh tactic says that if it gets dragged out too long, it becomes dragging. What happens is people lose interest. They lose interest. And so why it's changing back and forth. And so now they're saying that whole 12,000 that can easily, according to Michelle Bauman, easily be dealt with. 12,000. Because 7 billion people on the face of the earth. It's nothing but a faction developed by people who are trying to organize this world. And I truly believe it's not our president. I believe it's something bigger than that in this world. It's obviously Lucifer and those held captive by him. But I believe that those who follow it are joining in. And they're a part of it. The question is this. I see a storm being fashioned against you, America. Are we going to make our own plans like this girl did away from her father? Or are we going to walk our way in ignorantly up until the one point? And we're going to be praying at this point, of course, the moment we got to look at her and say, Church in America, you're going to be taken. Think about that. And what happens, by the way, just to let you know, again and again in the Word of God, again and again in reality, and again in this movie, he rescued her. But you know what? She learned. And she was going to never do that again. And she realized from her own pain, from being taken, she realized that her father was right. And we have to realize that Father God is right. There's a reason why he says we can't do this. There's a reason why he says we cannot partner with somebody who's against him. There's a reason why he raised this nation up. There's a reason why we've been blessed like we've been blessed. There's a reason why we have to stand with Israel. There's a reason we have to tell our Father everything. And we even got to be like Josiah and understand, dear God, if you're not, you have all the reason in the world to be angry with us. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us. And as for me and my house, we're going to do what's right. This is the week of 9/11. We need to make sure that's who we need to be. We need to be Josiah and cry out to God and say, dear Lord, I've sinned. Save me. Just like the girl said, Daddy, save me. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.